Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Deuteronomy. Please open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 2.
We'll see what happens. Deuteronomy chapter 2. And Father, thank you so much for this time in your word. And we pray, God, that we would just sit at your feet and learn from you this evening, and that you would speak a timely word into our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 2, the title of this message is, It's Time for a Change. It's time for a change. Now, change is hard on a lot of people because many of us, we just love routine. That's why many of you have stayed in the military for as long as you did, because you love routine. You know, payday is the same twice a month. It was the 15th and the 30th when I was in, and then they changed to the 1st and the 15th. I have no clue what it is today. However, you love that, and you love that routine. And you know, every so often, 2 to 3 years, you're moving around. And that part you don't like. But most of us, we like routine. We like for things to remain the same. But in order for growth and experience to take place in our lives, there must be some change. The Israelites are about to experience this same thing in this chapter. And we will see that the change will come from God. God won't let us remain comfortable. He's not going to let us just get settled and get into a rut. So often, God is the one who's behind the change. For most of us men, we just love routine. If things can just stay like this until we die, we're okay with that. Women, y'all like for things to change and variety and colors and things. You know, if it was left up to us men, the earth would look like the Matrix, you know, that kind of that greenish gray kind of. But because women are in the world, we have the colors and the things that we have. And so here it is. So often, you know, we want things to remain the same, but God is behind change, because so often change is going to bring about some growth in our lives, and it's going to bring about some experience. Because as we experience a variety of things, we will see God and from a different perspective. And God is behind it. We're going to see in this particular chapter. Now, in chapter 2, it picks up from where chapter 1 ends. Moses is telling the story of how their parents disobeyed the Lord 40 years earlier. They refused to go into the promised land because they were afraid of the giants that lived there. So God tells them to turn around and go back into the desert. And when this happened, they tried to change their minds and say, well, okay, we will go in now. And God told Moses, tell them, no, don't do it, because I am not with them. And they went anyway and tried to enter the promised land by way of the mountains where the Amorites dwelt. And they came out and defeated the Israelites and chased them like bees would. And so verse 46 of chapter 1 says, so you remained in Kadesh many days according to the days that you spent there. In these particular days in Kadesh Barnea, I'm sure that they grew pretty comfortable and say, okay, we're here. Okay, let's just, and they grew kind of comfortable and they developed a routine. And now let's see what happens in verses 1 to 3. It says, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea as the Lord spoke to me. And we skirted Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward. As they left the area of Kadesh Barnea, they journeyed in the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. You remember Moses is rehearsing what had taken place with them. And they had been in the wilderness for 38 years. They were at Mount Sinai for approximately 1 year, a little over a year. Then God said that they had been at this mountain, Mount Sinai, long enough. It's time for a change. It's time to go northward, back to Kadesh Barnea, where they were as a nation 40 years earlier. And I believe that this is the word for many of you who are here. You have been where you have been long enough. I know that it is comfortable. And I know that it is familiar, but it is time to move on and to get going. It's time to move out, as we would say in the military. And maybe you've been in your wilderness because of disobedience, but it's time to move on and get back on track with the Lord. And it's time. Okay, you have done that for long enough, whatever it is. He said that you have been at this mountain long enough. Whatever that means to you, you've been there long enough. And it's time to move on. It's time to get it in gear. It's time to get back on track with the things of God and the things of the kingdom. You've been there long enough. Not trying to disregard anything you have gone through to put you in the place that you're at now. But God is saying you've been there long enough. It's time to move on. You know what that is, and you know who it is that the Lord is speaking to concerning this. It's long enough. It's been long enough. Look what he says there in verses 4 and 5. He says, "And command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession." As the Israelites were on their way to the promised land, this new generation, they will go through the region of Mount Seir, according to verse 4. God tells them to watch yourselves. Don't go through their meddling with them, because I am not going to give you not even one footstep of the land, because I am giving it to the descendants of Esau as a possession, according to verse 5. Now, because the Edomites were descendants of Esau, and the Israelites were descendants of Jacob, and Jacob and Esau were brothers, so God tells them, don't go meddling or picking a fight with your brother. This is a word for all of us. What I'm about to say may be new to some of you, and it's a reminder for others. The enemy is not someone from another church. The real enemy is the devil. Let us stop picking a fight with and meddling with our other brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay, they do things a little bit differently. Okay, get over it. Not everyone's going to do everything alike. We're not going to all do things alike. If that was the case, then we'll all meet at the Hampton Coliseum and meet under one roof. There are churches that do things differently. Now, I'm not talking about the cults out there. The cults, we need to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once and for all given unto the saints. But I'm talking about just folks that there are brothers and sisters in the Lord, go to another church and they do things just a little bit differently. They're not the enemy. See that Satan will love for us to fight other churches. I tell every Calvary Connections class that we have, I tell them, hey, I am not in competition with any other church. Any other church. They're not the enemy. I told you I'm in competition with Nickelodeon, Disney, Busch Gardens, King's Dominion, the beach, Yorktown, Virginia Beach. That's who I'm in competition with. That's my competition. So when I'm trying to show folks that they need to be worshiping the Lord instead of at those places, and there's nothing wrong with going to those places, but not that at the expense of serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord. So I'm not in competition with any. Notice I didn't name any other church. I named entertainment. I'm in competition with the TV, with the movie theater. That's what I'm in competition with, because folks will get their money to the movie theater and something is going to rot their minds instead of coming and worship here at church and give their money to the kingdom. That's who I'm in competition with. Not another church, not other brothers and sisters. We're not in competition with them. Even though people like to hate on us, our church, I understand that. Hey, it's what it is. God has blessed. Yes. I'm very thankful for that. And people going to look and sip on haterade as they're looking at our church. And as they're sipping on haterade, I'm sipping on tea. It's just what it is. I'm not in competition with them. Not in competition with another church. So the real enemy is the devil. Let's us stop picking a fight and meddling with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. God would not allow for us to have one footstep that belongs to another church or to another brother or sister. Why? Because they are not the enemy. They are our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and God has good things for them as well. He really does. We have to really get that in our minds that God has things. He loves folks from the other churches as well. They are brothers. They are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, you shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed us, blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're drudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Now, as the Israelites were to pass through the area of the Edomites, they were to buy food and water from them. But that is it. Hurry up. It's as if God is saying, hurry up, pass through, and get out of their land, God will say. Now, this is amazing to me because the Lord had provided for the Israelites for 40 years. He had given them water from a rock and bread from heaven called manna. Now, as they're getting ready to enter the promised land, God tells them, it's time for you to participate. It's time for you to grow up and do something. Now you buy water and you buy food. Oh, God is saying, yes, I will still provide manna until you get into the promised land and celebrate your first Passover. But now I'm giving you a sneak preview of coming attractions. There is something that you need to be responsible for and that you need to do, God is saying. The same is true in our lives spiritually. We must grow up and not expect for God to constantly spoon feed us. We must take responsibility for ourselves and for our own growth in the Lord. Now, I'm going to do all I can to do what God has called me and equipped me to do to present for you a well-balanced meal from the Word of God. But let me tell you something. No matter how good this word is, you're still responsible for your spiritual growth in the Lord. You need to go to some good bookstores, buy you some good study material, maybe some good commentary. Well, nowadays everything's online. So I'm a little old school. What I should say now today in the 21st century, you go online and go to some good Bible sites, studylight.org, blueletterbible.org, and you need to study for yourself. Now, like I said, I'm going to do all I can. When you come here to give you a tasty meal with some dessert on the side, but let me tell you something, that still does not take the responsibility off of you for you growing. You're reading the word for yourself. You studying for yourself like the Bereans in Acts 17:11. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things the apostle Paul said was true. So how much more should you be studying? That's why those who are out there taking notes, they go back and read this and look up the verses and all that kind of stuff. This is what God is doing. God is saying, look, I have spoon fed you. I have given you water from a rock, bread from heaven. basically for 40 years. And now I have to kind of wean you off of me, so to speak. Now when you pass through the land, now you buy some food. You buy a little water to drink. And God is saying the same thing for us. He is trying to teach us the same principle. He is teaching the Israelites. I'm doing a good job in teaching you the word, but you still got to get into this word for yourself. You still have to. You have to do it for yourself. Now, I love it how verse 7 says that the Lord knows your drudging or your goings through the great wilderness. Please understand that God knows what you're going through, that God sees what is happening in your life. And I love it how it says at the end of verse 7 that God has been with you. Even though you were in the wilderness for 40 years, God said you have lacked nothing. The Bible says when they came out of that 40-year wandering in the wilderness, that their clothes nor their shoes didn't wear out. God said you didn't lack anything. You had something to drink. You had food. Your clothes endured. You didn't lack anything. And no matter what we go through, God will be with us as well. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is true even when we're in our wilderness. And say we're in our wilderness because of disobedience. God will still be with you like he was with the Israelites. Oh, I've gone through many wilderness experiences. And yes, it feels dry and it feels lonely. But let me tell you, God was with me the whole time. He was with me the whole time. And so to it, he will be with you as well. Look at verses 8 and 9. And when we pass beyond our brethren, the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir, away from the road on the plain, away from Elath and Ezer-Geber, we turned and passed by way of the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession. So when the Israelites passed through the land of Mount Seir, where the Edomites dwelt, they came to the area of Moab, according to verse 8. And God says in verse 9, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land because of Lot. Now we know that the Moabites were descendants of that terrible incest situation that took place between Lot and his daughters. You remember I mentioned Sunday, but because it was Sunday, you probably don't remember. So let me just say it again. You know, as they left Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his daughters, they thought the world was ending. So they went up into the mountains and the daughters concocted this plan to get their father drunk and have sex with him. Keep in mind, watch this, even though they escaped Sodom and Gomorrah, they never really escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. They were polluted. They were tainted. They were defiled by the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah for them to even concoct a plan to get their father drunk and sleep with him. That's the mess that was going on in Sodom. And so as a result of them doing this, one sister did it one night and she had a child, named him Ammon, which became the Ammonites. And the other was Moab. The other daughter did it the next night and she had Moab and it became the Moabites. And now because of their connection to Lot, watch this. God graciously gives them this land. And told the Israelites not to harass or contend with them. Now, this stands out to me because why would God constantly have to tell them, watch yourselves, when they went through the land of Esau's descendants in verse 4? Now he is saying, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle in verse 9. I believe, just my personal opinion, I believe the Israelites were starting to feel themselves, looking to pick a fight because God was on their side. We have the creator of the universe on our side. Who wants some of this? Anybody? And I think that they were getting a little cocky and trying to pick a fight with folks. And I just believe they were getting a little arrogant. And God had to warn them, do not harass nor contend in battle with them. Don't go around trying to pick a fight with people. Unfortunately, I have to admit that I used to do this when I first got saved. When I first got saved, God worked very rapidly in my life, very rapidly, at a speed that I thought was normal. But once I began to investigate other people, I saw that it wasn't normal. Within a couple of months of me getting saved, I was teaching Bible studies. I didn't know much, but I taught what I knew. And I used to go around because God was dumping so much knowledge on me through reading and studying and memorizing things. And it was just like, whoa, that, you know, I started to pick fights with people theologically and verbally so I can defeat them with words. And I was just this little cocky, arrogant, full of myself person. Not many people wanted to be around me because I was always trying to correct. I felt that I had to be the one to correct everybody. And I had to be the one to know that's not 1 Corinthians 2:4, it's 1 Corinthians 2:5. Don't be playing with God's word. Wow. It was just like, are you kidding me? I look back, you know, I was young. I was maybe 20 years old at the time. I mean, and I used to do that. And this is why I believe that God was telling the Israelites these things, because I believe that they were feeling themselves and getting a little prideful. And you know how I know? Because it takes one to know one. And I know the tendencies. I know the attitude. I can see it a mile away. I could. Looking to pick a fight with folks. Look at verses 10 through 12. The Emen had dwelt there in times past, a people as great and numerous as and tall as the Anakim. They were also regarded as giants like the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emen. The Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau depossessed them and destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their place, just as Israel did to the land of their possessions, which the Lord gave them. Now, these are some incredible verses. The Emen, who were a part of the giants as the Anakim, once dwelt in the area of Mount Seir, but the descendants of Esau depossessed and defeated them, according to verse 12. Oh, this tells me a lot that the giants, watch this, that the Israelites were afraid of, were defeated by the descendants of Esau. And they dwelt in the land that was supposed to be given to the Israelites. And I believe that there are things and promotions and that God wanted to give us, but because we were afraid of the giants or how big the project was, someone else has what God ultimately wanted us to have. And I believe this. That area, God wanted to give to the Israelites, but they were afraid of the giants. So guess who came and swooped in and took that part of the land? The Edomites, the descendants of Esau. They took and they dwelt there because they defeated the giants. They were not afraid of the giants. And I believe that there are things that God wanted us to have, but because we shrank back in fear, someone faced that giant, defeated it, and got what God ultimately had for us. And this is what we see here. We're going to be blown away at what God wanted to give us, but we allow fear to keep us from possessing it, and someone else, like the Edomites, are enjoying what God had for us. I believe this wholeheartedly.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' Kingdom Vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvaryNN.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608, and receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.